Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
Morning, guys. Glad you joined us. John's off today. I wasn't sure if he was going to be here for part of the show, but we're going to move on anyway. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement. A lot of emphasis on air conditioning and heating. I don't think we're there yet, boys, but won't be long. We're going to transition into heating, right?
Yeah.
Normally, by the third week of football season.
Right.
Yeah, the heating, people are not using their furnaces yet, but we start in September and we have our heating safety check that we start in September and do our maintenances as well.
Sure. Yeah, pretty important. You don't want to wait just as we talk in late winter, early spring to don't wait till the last minute to have your air conditioner checked. Same thing with the furnace. And I don't know. I think it's pretty wise. And we'll talk a little bit about that and what's involved and why people should do it. Their furnaces are a little different today than they were, 10 or 15 years ago. So pretty important to check those and the safety features, because there's a lot of times they just won't run, will they, if there's one little safety feature out on them, right?
Right. It's just like, on the radio about the cars, you can't go for them. Same thing with heating furnaces and just change the computer or thermostat. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Zeke, you're cutting in and out a little bit, so you might want to check your connection there.
Okay.
There's just your cord, maybe. Scott, how about you guys? About the same thing, preventive maintenance?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's, all of our spring and summer tune-ups are done, and we're kind of sitting back twiddling our thumbs a little in the service side, waiting for it to get cool enough to start doing all the, the fall and winter tune-ups.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good time for us to do training and restock all the vehicles and get ready for the change of season.
Right, absolutely. And it as you guys go through the summer, I can imagine how things get a little disoriented. The trucks are missing parts and time just to reevaluate. Right.
Summer, here in Charlotte, we run about 1,500 hours a year of air conditioning, and we only run 800 to 900 hours of heat, so it's cooling is our main season that just stresses all of the boundaries of what we can get done on a daily basis when it's really hot.
Sure Yeah, and it's and I guess we have to always remember that the air conditioning systems, mainly the furnaces, aren't always in the easiest spots to get to. It's kind of wouldn't it be nice if it was just right there in the garage, every one of them?
Yeah, like your car just pulls right in. Maybe if we could just roll up that door and back right up to your equipment, but that's never the case.
Mm-mm, hardly ever.
Hardly ever.
Right. Yeah, I did see one in the garage the other day, but it was buried behind a refrigerator and a half wall. So, They had a lot to do, a lot of work to that thing, and it was tough getting in there. But yeah, so yeah, that's the big part of it. It is kind of that, and it might be why we when people let things go, because out of sight, out of mind. You know, if you looked at it regularly, you might do more maintenance on it. I don't know, but anyway, now's the time. So if you have any questions about that, any home improvement questions, give us a call on that 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. Get your thoughts, get your questions in here about that. Air conditioning, heating, any home improvement, we'd be glad to hear from you. And then I think also we want to talk a little bit. I keep hearing commercials from different vendors about, you know, prices may go up. And I'm, you know,
there's no bam about it.
So and you know, so you wonder, and you just want to see if you guys, I just wonder if you guys are getting any hits or traction with that. You know, are people starting to ask? Are people becoming concerned? I've had a couple people just ask me in general and say, hey, I've heard this, and you know, but our system's pretty new. Are we okay? And I think that's something that we should probably talk about and put people's mind at ease, you know, somewhat, right?
Wish I could be a little more positive for them then.
Yeah.
No, it's, lumber came back down, and that's about the only commodity that I've seen actually go down.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I just saw plywood this week was like $15 a sheet. OSB, half-inch OSB, or 7/16 OSB.
So. And it used to be, what, $9 a sheet at its normal price?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Back in
a sheet of metal for us used to cost about $12, and now it's like $40. But the big ones are refrigerant bearing. The R410 refrigerant we use is, it's up about 900%.
Wow.
And now they're slowly phasing it out, so the price is never going to come back down.
Goodness gracious. Well, it is what it is. We'll just have to figure something out as we go along. All right, with that said, we're going to get ready for a break. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. We're going to take a break, get a couple messages in here. We'll be right back with more home improvement. Welcome back. It is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
Zeke Costa with it.
All right. And Zeke, we're hearing you, but just little bits and pieces. So maybe we can, I don't know what's going on. Maybe we need to reboot. Welcome to the program. We're talking home improvement. Got the AC guys in to answer any questions you might have about your air conditioning or your furnace or ventilation. You know, that's part of that's what the V in there stands for. So your bathroom vents, your exhaust vents on your stove, over your stove, or your dryer vent. Those all fall under what a HVAC contractor is supposed to do. So if you have any questions about that, we'd be glad to hear from you. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. So we were talking a little bit before the break about they're going to change out the refrigerants again. And you were saying the 410 is going to go away eventually, and we're going to be replacing with, are they propane based? Is that what I'm understanding?
Propane based will be the predominant new refrigerant. We've got 2 years before that happens.
Right.
Well, and you know, they'll slowly start bringing it in. They're not going to, and we'll have at least another 10 years with R410A before they cease production of it.
Right. Well, and that makes sense because you have a lot of units that were just installed. I guess it gets a little scary. I mean, it'll be available after that. They just won't, they'll stop manufacturing it, but you guys will be able to harvest that from older units and keep it, correct?
Correct. Okay. Well, it has to be recycled. So we turn it in and then get to rebuy it.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. Why wouldn't they?
Well, Exactly. I mean, it's just a lot of changes coming.
Sure. So
it is.
What's the reason?
Sorry, go ahead, Dave.
What's the reason for the difference? Is it efficiency or I never really heard.
So the R22 is probably one of the best refrigerants we ever had. They did away with it because it had chlorine, and that was, you know, an ozone depleter. And then R410A took its place. Now they're getting rid of it because it has fluorine. So the new refrigerant, I mean, it goes away completely from these hexane type products that supposedly are bad for the environment. I guess we'll find out how it works to use. And it's been used in other industries in the past, the propane-based refrigerant. It's just changes. And I hate to say it, with it comes, you know, change that we have to make. That it's, I just wonder what other type of safeties we'll have to put in a house or a duct system or an attic or a crawl space.
Right.
Because we're using a refrigerant that could possibly, you know, do damage if ignited.
Right. Well, that's what I was wondering, and how much, you know, I guess what is the ratio of propane in the system? So, I mean, I guess they'll figure it all out, and that's why they need a couple of years, because not only do they have to get it in the systems and change what they need to change, but then they need to test them and make sure to see how long they can run and what the advantages and disadvantages of it are, I guess. But it seems kind of funny that we go back to that we're going back to a propane based. Because there wasn't that around for a while. Didn't they run refrigerators off of propane? And they still do, don't they?
And I RVs? Think so. Yeah. Some of the larger. Getting some feedback.
Sorry. Okay.
No worries.
I heard it too. It came back around here, so I don't know if it went on the radio. Anyway, so it's just kind of interesting. You know, that we go through these changes and it moves on. It's just, I'm just sure that people, I don't know if people ask or not. I'm always interested in this kind of stuff, you know, why are we doing it, and, you know, at what cost is it? And, you know, we could keep some equipment like we used.
It's like ammonium glycol was used for a long time.
Right. I remember that. And that was tough stuff, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't that some of the things that if they had big tankers and they went over, they'd evacuate people. You couldn't breathe it. Wasn't that a problem?
I mean, it's antifreeze.
Right. Well, I mean, so that was what they used in the big refrigerant units, wasn't it?
Even in residential units as well.
Ah. So I always thought it was just in the big massive units for big buildings and you know, freezers, refrigeration, things like that. So interesting.
Well, I guess like the guy called in last month, you know, normally if it works on the commercial side, they, you know, eventually bring it to the residential side.
Right. Right. Yeah. It gets tested there, and because if they can be efficient there with what they have to do, then wow. You know it's going to work in a residence. That's where I saw some of the technology when they were misting these units with water to cool them to bring the efficiency up. That's where I first saw that, was on big commercial units on roofs. I don't know if you see much of that. I know there's some issues with that about corrosion and letting water in some places that probably shouldn't get in there with the constant misting, but there was some advantages to that, I guess, of cooling the unit off a little quicker, wasn't there?
Oh, no doubt. And it kind of, like, if you go out west, how they used to use evaporative cooling.
Mm-hmm. What they call them, swamp coolers?
Swamp coolers, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Talk a little bit. How does that work? Because I think there's some little devices I saw on television that they're advertising, these little miniature air conditioners that blow cold air over water, or move air over cold water, and they pick it up. That's essentially what it is, isn't it?
It's like it's basically just putting moisture on your skin.
Right.
And letting your body cool you.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Did I hear Zeke?
Did we get Zeke back? He must be doing some. He'll come back sounding like Elvis. Oh, all right. Well, so it's interesting what's going on with this, and I guess as you guys know, we'll learn more about what the future holds with the new refrigerants. And let's see. I think we got enough time. Let's try to get Pat in there. Hey, Pat, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Good morning, guys. I have two questions, but the first one's about HVAC. I have a two-story townhome. I'm curious about what goes into setting up a split system. I do not have one, and, of course, it feels like it's 10 degrees hotter upstairs, and I'm curious about that. And then the second was I have a master bathroom with two sinks. I'd like to get a new top and have just one sink, but in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Is it real involved to get the plumbing right so that I can have the sink where there is no sink right now? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the and we'll tackle that first because that's quickest, and then we're gonna be right against a break, Pat. So we'll have to put you on hold through the break, and then we'll let Scott and Zeke help you with the zoning.
Great. Thank you.
So right as far as the sink goes, right now you have two sinks. Are the vanities beside each other, or is there a leg space?
It's one big huge vanity.
Okay, and so the cabinets are together. We have drawers and cabinets,
yes,
or is that
two cabinets on under the sinks, and then a set of drawers that run down the middle?
Okay, are you going to put the single sink back where one of the sinks are now?
No, I want to put it in the middle. I want to get a whole new cabinet.
Okay.
And have a middle sink.
All right.
Well, that's wondered how much plumbing would go into that.
Well, it's simple enough. But what'll happen is they'll demo the cabinet and the countertop and the faucets, and all of that'll come out of the way, and then your plumber will come in. They'll open that wall, and then on wherever your measurements are, wherever you want that sink, they'll realign that plumbing to that general area, and then the cabinets will go back in, and then they'll come back in and hook up the one single sink. So it's,
great, so
it's
not a big deal.
Not a big deal. It's just a little time and a little bit of money. So
okay,
great. So with that said, I don't know if you want to hang. I'm gonna put you on hold, and we're going to take a break. We're going to get some messages and some news and some other information. So stay tuned and give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And we're trying to see if we're
trying to get Zeke.
Yeah, see if we get Zeke worked out here. Well, Zeke will probably call in here shortly if he's having a little. There you are. You there, Zeke?
I'm trying again, yeah.
All right, that sounds better.
Does it?
Did you get some electrical tape? Tape up that cable?
Duct tape.
There you go. Good job. All right. Hey, real quick. Hey, Pat, hang tight. You're up next. I got to do the Home Depot product of the week. This week, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Home Depot app. So if you have a smartphone, most everyone does. If you download this app, it's a great thing to have for several reasons. But some of the reasons I use is, one, before I ever go to the store or if I have to pick something up, I can go to the app, and it's almost always accurate to tell me if they have it in stock. Some stores may have the product and some may be out, so it saves you time there. You also can find on that app where in the store it's located. So there's a map and it'll show you where the product is. So if you're pinched for time, that's helpful. Of course, you can order products through the app, and then you can either have them delivered to your house. They can deliver it to the store and you can pick it up, or you can have it delivered to the store and they'll bring it out to you. It's all paid for. It's pretty simple. I just like it. It's pretty neat. You can go to the tool rental, and you can see many things. Some things are in the store and some things you're just ordering online. So it kind of saves a step. So anyway, the product of the week this week is the Home Depot app for your smartphone. They have it at the App Store. Be sure and check that out, and you'll think you'll be happy once you have it. It's pretty cool. All right, with that said, let's get Pat in here. Pat, thanks for waiting. We appreciate your patience. And we answered your first question about vanity sinks, so we got that taken care of. And now you want to find out what's involved with zoning your existing system in a two-story house, your HVAC system. So I'll let the guys take over on that.
Well, that sounds like a pretty easy scenario. So your townhouse or your condo was built before 2010, and you have one thermostat downstairs, and it's just always hotter upstairs, correct?
Correct.
You'd be surprised how easy it would be for us to reconfigure the duct system, install motorized dampers, a brain to control it, and then put a thermostat upstairs where you could control each floor independently. We just have to come out and take a look and give you some pricing, and it's traditionally a one-day job. We could come in, redesign. As long as we bring everything we need with us, it's relatively simple.
So I don't have to change out my system. It's the ductwork?
Correct.
It is. It is the ductwork. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Zeke.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the...
Well, you know... Go ahead.
So anyway, Pat. So it's usually that simple. Now Scott, zoning does work. It works better if the areas aren't equal. In other words, that system's designed for the whole house, correct?
It is.
So when you shut open a damper and close a damper, there's some systems that work better with that, correct? But you can use an existing single stage system, right?
Yeah, I mean, if this equipment needs to be replaced at the same time, which it doesn't sound like that's the need here, it can be done more efficiently with better equipment, but doesn't limit you from being able to do it now. And most of those townhouses are your upstairs and your downstairs are relatively the same size.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll Zeker. Just call you guys and get you to give me a quote then. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
We would love that.
Thanks, Pat, very much. Thanks for your patience. All right. Pat is gone, and I guess we should give your guys a number out. So what are the websites? Give them your websites, guys, so at least they can log that down.
CharlotteComfortSystems.com or AcostaInc.com.
Okay, good. Yeah, so let's just talk a little bit about zoning, because every once in a while I run into people when I mention that, and they look at me kind of funny because they're not sure what that means. So let's take a couple of minutes and explain that a little bit more as to what it is and how it can benefit people.
Well, you know my analogy, David, like the light switch. You have a light switch in every room, but traditionally maybe just one thermostat to do a whole floor or the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole lot cheaper to separate that duct system and break your HVAC system down into zones so that you can control, the master suite or all the bedrooms or the living areas or the formal areas, kind of like you do with a light switch. It just makes you have more control of the house and,
right,
maybe not cooling the whole house just to make your bedroom cool when you go to bed at night. And it's relatively simple. The process and the controls have gotten easier over the last couple of decades. But it's essentially motorized dampers that we separate the ductwork into smaller quadrants. And then, with our better equipment, we actually program airflow and capacity of the outdoor and indoor units to match how much air we need for each individual zone.
Right.
And I mean, after starting in January 1st, 2010, the government changed the code that we go by to say if you had multiple floors, that each floor had to have its own control. To get away from like what Pat was saying, where it's probably 6 or 8 degrees hotter upstairs in her house year round.
Mm-hmm.
So we could fix that for
her. Right. So you could keep one system and be able to split that off and be able to control the temperature separately in different areas of the house with its own thermostat. So, and that's kind of neat because I know a lot of people would like to be able to have the bedroom cooler at night without having to cool the whole house. So you could do something just as simple as that, right?
That's true. And it's, as the equipment, like with what Pat has is probably a, you know, a single stage furnace or a single stage heat pump. And what that means is if she has, you know, a 2-ton unit that does the whole house, well, if she's cooling upstairs or downstairs, she's still going to run that 2-ton unit. We're just going to redirect that airflow and put it to where it's, you know, where it's needed.
Right.
With our more modern equipment, the capacity of the equipment would actually be reduced to meet, you know, how much cooling or heating is needed for each individual zone.
Right. So it wouldn't be.
I don't want to make it complicated, but it can be done simply or it can be done on a high efficiency basis.
Right. Right. And we won't get into that. Just so people know that's a possibility, and that in most cases it could be done. Now sometimes the ductwork's buried and you can't get to it, and it becomes a little bit more extensive than that. But for the most part, in most houses the way it's designed, you can split them up. So okay, well listen, we ran past the break just a little bit, so let's do that. Give us a call 704-570-1110. We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back after this. All right. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging on. We're here doing the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
Yeah, not sure if we have Zeke or not. Okay, we'll move on. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement. Do you have any air conditioning, heating questions? Like Pat did, then give us a call. This is a good week to get that done. You're always better off asking these guys than you are John and I when it comes to that. We can answer some of it to a point, but not at the depth that these guys do it. I don't know. What's your combined history, Scott? You guys ever talked about that? How long you guys been in the business?
Well, I think Zeke's 50th anniversary is coming up. And I've been in it, 37,
wow,
almost 37 years now.
Yeah. So, you know, we're getting, that's a bunch of time right there. There's a lot of knowledge. We appreciate it too. You don't know how much, not just here, but you guys are helping people all over because we have a pretty good following, people with the podcast have a huge, trucker, following out there. I guess those guys listen to, the podcast. So, good for them, and we appreciate it, and we're hoping that helps.
Yeah, you guys gotta have a great service.
We hope it helps them, and they're on the road doing the country a huge service, and we appreciate that. You guys be safe out there. Let's get Pop in here. Pop wants to talk about a gas furnace. Hey, Pop.
How's it going this morning?
Great, man. How about you? How can we help?
I got a question. I've got a 40-plus-year-old gas furnace in my basement. I'm on propane since I'm out in the country. And I'm thinking about switching to a heat pump. So I've heard the heat pumps regular, and then you can get the dual systems. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would definitely want to stick with the furnace and then have the heat pump as, you know, secondary source of heat. You said in the basement, so that could be a good thing.
I put in a heat pump. I mean, I'm concerned about whether the ductwork will work or not.
Well, is your basement open to the outside? You have foundation vents that allow air into the crawl space or the basement from outside?
Yeah.
That could be a detriment because if your furnace is 40-plus years old, I bet the duct system is 40-plus years old.
Yeah, how's that? Flex duct that goes between the floors. I got floor truss and there's space for the duct work in the truss, floor truss. So
what you may want to look at sealing your crawl space or your basement so that you're not bringing in all that air from outside.
Yeah.
Which, if you get rid of that infiltration, you have the ductwork inside of the envelope of the house.
Yeah.
And of course, heat rises. So even if you're losing some heat into the basement, it's still going to make its way up into the house.
Now, from what I understand, a gas furnace needs fresh air for combustion, right? You got to have a air source.
Well, you know, most of the furnaces, the high efficiency furnaces, you can bring in fresh air from outside, and of course, exhaust outside. So it's sealed combustion. So you would not need that open space, maybe like you're using now, to feed air to the furnace.
Right, and they can do it with PVC, right, Scott?
Yeah, it'd be two PVC pipes that go from the furnace out through the foundation.
Okay, all right. Now I just got foundation vents, and it's venting through that into furnace in the basement, so for combustion or whatever. So.
Sure. Yeah, you can eliminate that because you could put. That's what I put a furnace in a sealed attic, and it had to be the high efficiency because that's what it's doing. It's getting its air intake from. Combustion air from the outside, and then it exhausts right beside it. You know, it's the same vent termination, but different ones at intake and ones at exhaust.
Yeah, but you would definitely have to switch heat pump, get a dual system, or have a gas backup.
Well, I mean, your furnace, as old as it is, you've been you should buy some lottery tickets, but it's yeah. Time to. Upgrade that furnace, and when you do so, but I would really look at sealing that crawl space closed so that you keep that heat inside the envelope.
Yeah.
So all of those foundation vents would be sealed up.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks, Pop. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening.
Hey, good luck with it.
All right, man.
All right. Next up, let's get Eddie in here. Eddie wants to talk about AC. Eddie, welcome to the program. How can we help?
I got a 3,100 square foot two-story house. I've got two units, one for the lower section, one for the upper section. On the upper section, of course, it's a little bit smaller unit than the lower section. What I want to do is upstairs, I have two walk-in attic areas. I'm wanting to upgrade both them areas to make them usable. One of them I want to turn in to a walk-in closet, master bathroom style. It's going to be approximately 200 square feet. Would that unit, the original unit, take up or use those 200 square feet?
If you were to use like some open cell spray foam insulation, something to, so that you're not adding that load. I think if you have attic space throughout the, above the second floor, it's just maybe a couple of wings that have a little lower roof line. Could you spray foam if you spray foamed your attic, I think you could add, both areas that you want to utilize without having to upgrade the HVAC.
The other area would be approximately 400 square feet. I didn't know if that would be too much add-on and have to use like a split system or something on it, or...
No. I mean, possibly, like a mini split or something, but if you...
Yes.
What we would do is if you were open to the concept of maybe spray foam in the attic, we would do a load calculation to see how much we could reduce the need for HVAC and then see how much your added need is. And odds are they could work out to where you wouldn't have to buy a new system and you would make the upstairs of the house a whole lot more efficient.
Sure. It cuts your energy bills.
That would be spray foaming the actual roof side.
Yes.
I've got an extra 14 inches of blown in.
Right.
Insulation.
Yeah, you'd be amazed at the difference between foam and that insulation. Maybe you could sell that insulation to your neighbor and it'd go to waste. I like what Scott's saying. I think that's a great idea. We foamed our attic in our home that we built. It's always easier when it's new construction, but it can be done. And I'm telling you, you'll pay for it pretty quick. the extra expense. Plus, you're if you don't have to upgrade that system, if you could stay out of that area, then you'd be in pretty good shape. So you'd just have to reconfigure the ductwork.
Well, or if you decided you wanted to not spray foam and you wanted to condition both of those areas, you may be better off just to. How old is the HVAC system?
Hey guys,
that serves the second floor.
I hate to interrupt, but we're about 20 seconds from having the breakout. So Eddie, if you'll hang tight, I'm gonna put you on hold, and we'll finish that up when we come back. We appreciate it, John. You too, hang tight. We're going to take a break, get a few messages and some news, and give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll be back right after this.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. Welcome to It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Dovall.
I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
And I don't think we have Zeke, so we're not hearing you if you're there, Zeke. Anyway, we got lines open, 704-570-1110. Eddie's been patiently waiting. Let's go back to that. And then we had one more question that dropped, and I think we can answer that, and I'll tell you what it was, Scott. Eddie, welcome back. Thanks for holding.
Okay, thank you. I think you all was getting ready to say something about the another system or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what I was thinking, if the doing the spray foam is not an option, we would just have to do a load calculation to see, you know, what capacity you would need, you know, for the second floor and those new areas. How old is this HVAC system that's serving that area now?
If I'm not mistaken, we just bought the house this first part of this year, but I believe the system upstairs is only 5 years old.
Yeah, that would be a shame. But, you know, we'd be glad to look at it either way just to make sure you're on the right track and comfortable going forward.
Right, so the spray foam, efficiency-wise, would probably be the best.
It would be. I don't know cost-wise, though. Depends on your attic and how tall the roof decking is and how many, you know, square foot of foam you would need. Right. Not my forte. I've paid for it before, but you'd really want to talk to a company that's, you know, their forte.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
But we can help you on the load calculation side just to make sure that we condition that space properly for you.
Okay. We lost Eddie. I don't know if he dropped or what happened, but hopefully he heard the rest of that, and I think he knows what to do now. It was good advice, Scott. I like the idea of, you know, if the system's not ready to be changed out, you know, going with the foam now and using that money towards that, and then when he goes to his next system, going to a higher efficiency system, he really would realize the benefit at that point in time of that foam. You know, even more.
Well, so, you know firsthand that how good of an investment it is to encapsulate the attic.
Yeah, you guys talked me into that through the years, and I was a little hesitant at first, but then, you know, when I pulled the trigger, I was like, okay, this makes all the sense in the world. Hey, Zeke, welcome.
Hey, we'll try it this way.
Well, good. Sorry you're having problems. We missed you the first hour, so, but I know you were listening. We had another question before the break, and we got Eddie squared away and pop. But John wanted to know about spray to clean the coils. So I don't know if he was talking interior, exterior, but if you're going to rinse that unit off outside, there's probably a couple of things people should know, huh? About pressure and the spray pattern and all that.
Well, and what the coil is comprised of, the aluminum coils, the cleaners are completely different.
Right. But
just soap and water.
Right. Just soap and water, right? There's something like Simple Green, something that's not too alkali. And then what do you say, Zeke, about the spray nozzle itself? Because I've seen people try to do it with the pressure washer. That's a no-no, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You can't, if you do much pressure, it'll, you know, bend the fins and cut down the air, or change the airflow pattern. And ideally, the way to do it is actually rinse it from the inside out. In other words, if you took the top off and you spray it away from the unit, because any dirt that's on there is already on that on the outside, and if you're having to push it through the coil, it's just harder and takes longer than just rinsing it from the outside. I mean, from the inside out.
Right.
You can do it from the outside, and you also, I guess the thing is to start at the top and gradually work yourself your way down, so you can, you know, so you don't end up, if you go at the bottom to the top, you end up bringing that dirt from the top down to the down lower part of the coil.
Right. So just to be safe, you would want to stay with a mild soap and then a wide fan spray, not anything with the zero tip. Like on my spigots at home, we have 80, 90 pounds of pressure on the outside spigots. And I have to buy really good hoses because of that, but I want that. But when they came to clean my coils, and that guy was like, whoa. So he had to put a fan spray on there because it was, you couldn't hit it with that hose like that. It's just too much. It'll fold it right over.
Right.
So it makes sense. And then I guess the interior coils, unless you really know what you're doing, you probably ought to leave that to the pros, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I guess about the same with the interior coil. You got to be careful because if you put too much water in at one time, you only have that 3/4-inch pipe coming out of the coil.
Right.
If you're spraying it with the water hose, you can overflow the drain pan, and that water will end up going into your duct system or overflow and if it's in the attic, get in your attic. And then your ceiling.
Have y'all ever had one that the coil on the interior that people maybe that had pets or maybe it was a rental and it wasn't serviced for long periods of time that you had to vacuum the coil before you could actually wash it?
We've had to disassemble it, take the coil outside to clean it.
Yeah,
because it was so bad. Wow. So yeah, that's a mess. Well, I was involved in a rental house that. The plenum, the bottom of the furnace, the return had 15 gallons of water in it, and it was the furnace, the coil, the ductwork was a science project. Let me tell you what it looked like something from the sci-fi movie. It was pretty bad. So that's all cleaned up. They're rested easy. But hey, we are against a break. Let's take our break. We'll be back with more home improvement right after these messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Steve Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Scott Shelton with Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right. Again, thanks, guys, for joining me today. John's off. He'll be back next week. We're talking home improvement, little AC, HVAC. Like we said earlier, don't forget the ventilation part. That's what the V stands for. I think a lot of people miss that and how important that is in the house, because especially as we try to insulate our homes and put higher efficiency systems in, you want to make sure that your ventilation is working properly and that you're not drawing too much, no more than need be, because it's actually what's taking conditioned air out of the house, right? Or it can.
Oh, definitely can.
And a lot of times people think more is better, but not necessarily so. So think about that a little bit too. So if you have any questions, but like I said, lines open 704-570-1110. I'd love to hear from you. We were talking about cleaning the coils and all of that. So that's something if you're doing your regular maintenance, they're at some point in time, whether it's the fall or the spring tune up, they're going to take a peek in there, right? And take a look at that coil and see what it looks like and see if it needs to be cleaned. And if you have pets, There's a pretty good chance you're going to have a little bit of dander, some hair, and some buildup on those coils because it sneaks by most filters. I mean, I really like the filter that's in mine, that 4-inch filter. That's the best one to have, I think. But what's your guys' take on that?
Well, you just have to think of the amount of moisture that went through your system during the cooling season.
Mm-hmm.
Your AC is pulling that humidity out of the house. Well, in the process, it's going through the ductwork and through your furnace or air handler. So we need to inspect all of the, you know, components in the furnace just to make sure that that moisture hasn't had a negative impact.
Right. And that it's going where it's supposed to be going, unlike the story I was talking about before the break with the all the water down in the bottom of the furnace on that upflow furnace, and it was pretty deep. That duct went all the way to the floor in the garage, and there was a lot of water in there. So they were just pulling water back through that furnace over and over again. It was unbelievable. I'd never seen that before. Not that much water. Condensation line was stopped completely up. And kind of a sad situation. And somebody had been out there and looked at that too and said there was nothing wrong. That's even
well, and
more
the funny
sad.
Thing is your system on a hot day could pull 10 to 15 gallons of humidity out of the air of your house. So that's a lot of water over time.
Right, right. Well, the only reason it probably never overflowed and it was right up to the bottom of the filter grill housing, which was just on the inside wall of this furnace, but there was a little leak down at the bottom, and evidently it had been doing it for a while, and this was a rental property, and they didn't know that any different that water shouldn't be running out, because it was running in the garage. It didn't really matter, you know, it was just headed towards the door and out. But I think that's what kept it from spilling over. But I think every day it was probably building up and getting a little bit higher because not enough water was leaking out. It couldn't, you know, couldn't leak enough out that it was building up quicker. As you say, 10 or 15 gallons a day is a lot. And of course, the house is saturated. Everything in the house is soaked. You know, they're running dehumidifiers and they're trying to pull that moisture out. So it was, you know, it was quite a mess. It was quite a mess, actually. So just another reason that you should have your systems serviced and pay attention to that, I think. So what else is going on? Is there anything? I know you guys said that you're getting into the tween season, so you're between heating and cooling, right?
We are. Have you spent any time trying to read this Inflation Reduction Act that is now new law?
No.
And all the tax credits that homeowners may be able to get in the future for windows, doors, electrical upgrades, insulating, HVAC, most especially with heat pumps. There's a large pool of money that'll slowly work its way, because they're going to give the money to the states, and the states have to set up their own program to quantify and administer. So we'll see, you know, in the coming months, how soon North Carolina or South Carolina can get that set up and customers can start taking advantage. Because it actually reinstated the energy efficiency tax credits that we've always had that, you know, could be up to $500 for a new HVAC system. And that started January 1st of this year.
Okay.
So if someone put in a new system this year, they could actually claim it on their taxes next year.
Right.
And it's separate from the high-efficiency energy home rebate.
Okay. So, but they're tax credits versus a rebate, correct? So you have to pay, you have to be paying taxes.
The high-efficiency energy home rebate is going to offset liability. It's not going to be a credit. But the energy efficiency rebates are a full credit and could lead to additional refunds.
Okay. So as long as you're,
I'm not a tax guy, but
right, but a tax credit, normally you have to have paid taxes in order for that to be able to, and that you wouldn't be normally getting that money back. So, and that could be a good thing if you're in that situation. And, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, you might get that tax credit and that might be important, but if you have that system for 15 years or 20 years or whatever it may be, you're getting paid back all the time with it because it's costing you less, but you're still, you still have the comfort level. So,
no doubt.
Yeah, like that.
Well, you know how it works. If you want to get money back from the government, you have to spend more money on the front end traditionally than you anticipated.
Right. Right. But in the end, I mean, that's an incentive for people to do it. But in the end, what you really get is you get lower energy bills and you have a comfortable home as we do. I talk about it pretty regularly. Maybe people don't want to hear about it anymore, but I just think that it was the smartest thing that we did on that house. Those things that keep paying us back month after month, and then of course you can't put a price tag on comfort. Not to mention the humidity in the house is controlled, which it has to be because we sealed the attic. You can't have all that moisture. You can't have excess moisture going up and going through that foam. That's a problem because it gets trapped at the roof deck. So you do have to maintain. And of course, we sealed our crawl space because that's where that moisture would end up too, is in the attic. And then, of course, we're not dealing with excess moisture, so the furnace is running even less to dehumidify. So it's really kind of a win-win. So you spend a little bit of money, Scott, as you said, on the front end, and then you reap the benefits over time. And then again, comfort. You're not loading the house up with moisture. You have less moisture in your framework of the house. You have less chance for mold. It just kind of goes on and on when you really start thinking about all the benefits of that. And it's just if you can manage it on the front end, it's
done. It's, you know, and
yeah,
if you go to buy a car, I don't care. Pick a car, the base model car that's $28,000. The average person's going to want upgrades on that car.
Right. Agree. We agree to that for sure. Okay. Well, listen, we're coming up again. We're just about to the bottom of the hour. So lines are open, 704-570-1110. If you guys want to talk with the guys about air conditioning or heat or duct work or ventilation, anything like that, this is a great time of the month. It's the second Saturday. These guys are always with us then. But give them a call, and they'll be glad to answer those questions. And then, of course, anything home improvement related, we'd love to hear from you about that. And don't forget, askjohnanddave.com. Hit the questions button. We can take care of you there as well. I do have a couple questions, and maybe we'll tackle those here in the next segment. In the meantime, give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll be right back after these messages. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Seeker Costa with the Costa Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right. Scott, I think Scott may be gone.
We lost him now.
Well, I think he had something to do, but I thought it was 8:45. Anyway, well, Scott's gone. We thank him for being in today. Alexander, we see you there holding. Hang just a second. I got to do the Home Depot product of the week. This week it is I just want to talk a little bit about the Home Depot app for your smartphone. And here's where it kind of comes in handy. We got a question this week from D. Brandon, and he wanted to know about a ladder that John and I spoke of a couple of weeks ago, which was the Home Depot product of the week. I was able to pull this up on the app, and it says that I know Pineville had some in stock, but normally it would show that. But you can have it shipped to the store, shipped to your home. They have 1,180 available. It's also telling me that ladder is on sale right now for $211.39 for the next 18 hours. So it's a special buy, and if you're interested in that ladder, you can get that done. But all of this info on the Home Depot app. So check that out. If you don't have that app on your phone, it's kind of nice to have it because it gives you lots of information. You can find products, you can see which store has it. It'll give you directions to the store, whatever you need. So pretty neat, and hope you'll check that out. So that's our Home Depot product of the week is the Home Depot app. Let's get Alexander in here. Alexander, thanks for holding. Appreciate that. How can we help?
Yes, good morning, guys. I have a question about the spray foam, if you can maybe go into the more details. You know, how do I find a good contractor? Where do I put it? Like I heard you guys mentioned about the attic and as well as the crawl space. And the second question, which is a little curveball and a total opposite, can you recommend me tools to cut some limbs on the trees that are hanging above my roof?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sure. So if on the tools for the roof, can you tell me, is it a two-story roof? Can you stand on the roof, or do you need to use a ladder? What's your situation there?
Yes, it's a two-story house. I can stand on the roof. The roof has been replaced 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I have old oak trees.
Right.
And maple trees that are, you know, part of the common property in the association.
Sure.
And so I have to cut them.
Okay. Are they big limbs, or are we just talking little branches? I mean, in other words, if it falls on the roof. Go ahead.
Big limbs.
Well, I mean, obviously you can buy chainsaws that are mounted on a pole that extend up and all of that, but I guess that's your call as your skill level as to what that limb's going to do when you cut it. You know, I'm pretty versed at using tools and have cut a lot of trees in my life, but I tell you, Alexander, when it comes to limbs that are hanging over a house, I would defer to the pros on something like that, because they're insured for one, but they're going to probably come out there with a bucket truck. They're going to have some ropes, and they're going to attack that from a different place. And if the limbs are of any size and they're going to fall on that roof or fall towards you, that gets pretty dangerous pretty quick. So I don't know, man, I would feel bad if something happened to you. Just, you might want to just get somebody out, let them look at it and see, you know, what kind of pricing it would be just to get them to cut those and pull them away. At the very least, I think you would need someone on the ground with a rope tied on those limbs trying to pull them away. But again, you know, maybe even if you just paid somebody to come out there that does it every day to tell you how to do it, if you need to save that money, but at least you'll get an expert's advice on it. And, you know, it'll keep everybody safe. So, with that said, we'll switch over to your first question, which was the foam. So in this area, they spray open cell foam in the attic. They spray it on the roof deck, so the bottom of the roof, so they cover up the rafters. Normally they'll remove, or you can have the insulation removed from the crawl space because you don't need it. If you have gable end walls on the house, they will spray those as well. They close off the soffit vents. They close off the ridge vent, and then your attic becomes sealed. So there's no air coming in and there's no air going out. There's no need for ventilation. What this does is it blocks the heat. And that's as Scott and Zeke tell us, most of the time we have a much longer cooling season than heating season. So it really benefits us in the South to be able to cool that attic off. And there's other ways to do it too, but normally it has to be done at construction. Foam can be added anytime. You'll see a substantial decrease in your electricity bill running your AC. But that brings up another question. If your AC is pretty new and it's been sized properly for the home, you won't need as much air conditioning as your current system is putting out once you seal that attic off, because the heat gain is going to be so much less in the house. So you have to do something with that excess air, or you can get in trouble with short cycling of the AC unit, which can cause mold, because now what's happening is you're cooling the house off, but you're not running the system long enough to extract the humidity from the house, which is the other important part of an air conditioning system. As far as sealing the crawl space, when we talk about that, we're talking about having someone like DryPro come out and they encapsulate
the crawl space. So they're basically closing off your vents. They put in a sump pump. They put in a liner, and then a dehumidifier. And so now you control that space in the crawl space. And the reason that I suggest people make sure they look at their crawl space is that any moisture that's in that crawl space, if it's not taken care of, makes its way into the house, and then eventually it tries to make its way into the attic. And we don't want the attic to get saturated with moisture. So you have to kind of pay attention to that. I have hygrometers at my house, and so I know what's going on in the crawl space, in the living space, and in the attic, just so that we can control the moisture. Because if a bunch of moisture was to get in the attic, it'll pass through the open cell foam, and it will be stopped at the roof deck, and there's a potential for rot to happen over a period of time. Now, the humidity has to be pretty high for that to happen, and pretty steady for long periods of time. So you have to be cautious about that. But once it's done, it's well worth every penny that you would spend on it. So don't recommend foam in this area for the crawl space or for the walls, because as the insulation folks told me, the payback is so long, it's not worth it. Traditional insulation and air sealing are usually enough in this climate. If you live in a colder climate, you go into the mountains, or you go up into the north or northwest, and you have bad winters, then the foam in the walls is worth every penny there as well. So, all right, I hope that helped. And I'm going to put you on hold because we are right against the break. So we're going to take our break, and we'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Seeker Costa with the Costa Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we thank you for listening. Thanks, Zeke, for coming in today. Well, calling in, and we appreciate it. Scott's off. John's off. So it's just me and you here in the lightning round. So if you have any questions, HVAC, home improvement, give us a call, 704-570-1110. Thought we'd do a email question. Randy had called in a couple of weeks. He had actually sent an email, and then he called in and was changing out receptacles. And Zeke found the last he found a receptacle. All the receptacles that he had changed at that point had all had multiple wires on them. So basically, it was the circuit, it was the wire coming in and then the wire leaving, going to the next receptacle. And he got to a receptacle that did not have, but it only had three wires. So it had a black and a white.
The one at the end, right?
Right. Yeah. It was the one at the end. You remember that question? And then and so he had written back and he said he wanted to add a small circular ceiling light. And he wanted to know if he could get the power off of that receptacle and run a piece of 14-2 to that receptacle. Well, I mean, the only way we can answer that question is you'd have to know what the circuit was and what was on that circuit and what size it is. Because if it's a 20 amp, that would be a number 12 wire. And no, you cannot run a number 14 wire on a 20 amp circuit. That would need to be a piece of number 12 wire going to that light fixture. And at that point, when I get questions like this, then I'm thinking, you know, this is where you're better off to go ahead and call a licensed electrician and get them out there and let them sort that out for you. Because quite possibly, once you start doing that, I think all lighting circuits, well, most all circuits now in bedrooms and living rooms and all of it, aren't they arc fault? I think that's what kind of
everything. Yeah, and depends on what, like you said, what else is on that circuit.
Right.
The best thing is to make sure what size breakers on that circuit.
Sure.
Yeah. Then he can tell what size wire he could possibly run through it.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be an electrician might see an easier or a better way to get that power to his light. It could come from another lighting circuit.
Correct.
Especially if it's a an attic area, they can get to the wiring and do that.
Yeah, it might be easier to be able to do that. And then if he's going to use a remote for it, or does he need a switch? So I just think with the nature of the question and the question that he's asking, it's probably, that's not a do-it-yourself project. Get an electrician out there. Let them help you sort it out. Ask questions with him and learn from him, because he's, you know, most guys are willing to kind of tell you what's going on, and you can see what they're doing. And it's a good way to learn, and it's a good way to stay safe. Let the pros do it. And, you know, if you're an apprentice and you go to work for an electrician, you're going to have to listen to him and learn from him. He's going to teach you what he does. So kind of the same situation, probably better to leave that to someone that's qualified and let them do it. And I understand that, Randy wants to try to learn and wants to do these things, but sometimes electricity is not the place to start. Lots of things can happen, and you don't want to do something that would cause a problem for you or someone down the road that buys that house. So, you know, just make sure it gets done properly. And, you know, you could always talk to an electrician, and he could maybe guide you through it if you wanted to do your work yourself. But at least let him look at your work, and he could let you know if you're doing it properly or improperly. And it's better safe than sorry for you and everybody in the house. So you can take that for what it's worth, and it's free advice, and it may not be worth anything. Sometimes it's not what people want to hear, but it's the truth. So just be careful out there. Lines open, by the way, 704-570-1110. A little quiet here in the last little bit. Normally we're busy this time, but Zeke, so you guys are rolling into you've already started your furnace checkups, and that'll continue on for the next couple months, huh? Yeah. Oop. I think we might have lost Zeke. All right. I'm going to put do we pot that down? That's good, huh? Okay, good. If Zeke is listening, you probably need to call back in. I don't know what happened. If he's back or gone. Let's go back to here's an email that we got, and this is from Ed. And Ed had written in, he said, "How do you catch a snake in the house?" So I actually had to call Ed because I had to hear this whole story. But evidently a snake had gotten in the home and had gotten underneath some things that were stored in the house, and they couldn't find it. But they actually make glue traps for snakes, and people, before anybody gets upset, they're humane. And the same with the ones that catch mice, and people think they're not humane. If you check it every day and you don't leave them on there, they don't dehydrate. Actually, what you do is you take the glue trap outside after you catch it, and you spray it down or pour cooking oil on the sticky trap itself. And once that happens, they kind of move around and move, and then the oil allows them to release, and then they'll clean themselves off and they can get free. But that was kind of a funny story, and he just said that they didn't know where the snake went, and that was I just thought it was kind of funny. But I hope we helped them, and I hope they were able to find that. So let's get Chris in here. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Good morning, Dave. That was quite a story.
Yeah. It was a lot more extensive than that, trust me, but that's about as far as I'll go with it.
Wow. Well, listen, this is probably pretty quick, but the ceiling in the kitchen is probably just 3 or 4 feet from the upstairs, from the actual roof.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when the microwave went in a number of years ago, instead of just having the normal, what you expect to see on the roof for a ventilation duct exit,
mm-hmm.
whatever they call it, they put a gooseneck type thing. It's flat. You've probably seen it. It's almost
sure.
industrial looking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when it rains, if there's a wind-driven rain, even though it's pointed down, and I went up there last night and looked, I thought there'd be a damper in there so that air coming out would be able to lift a lightweight flapper, and then air pushing or rain from the outside, it would encounter a bumper, and
mm-hmm.
therefore it wouldn't come in there. But when it rains, it comes in there if it's a wind-driven heavy rain.
Yeah, they make them with a damper, Chris. You're right. It's supposed to have a damper because a hard rain, just a real heavy rain, will bounce off of the roof and
exactly.
can make its way back in, and
that's right.
That's probably what you're getting. And then you can have a negative or a positive pressure too, so it could draw in if the damper on the microwave doesn't close completely. So, and that's been known to happen because as an exhaust fan gets older and it gets greasy, sometimes the damper in there sticks. It can either stick open or closed or halfway, and they're not as efficient. So
where would you expect to see a damper? Because it's probably a 16-inch tall gooseneck, and mm-hmm. I could see all the way. It's been in there 20 years, but it's absolutely
right.
rust-free. It looks
sure.
clean. But okay. I don't see a damper anywhere. Is this going to be at the roof level?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, Chris, because we're right against the end of the show, and I'll finish you off the air if you don't mind. And, Jim, you hang on. I'll do the same for you. Man, it went by fast. It was a quick 2 hours. We sure appreciate everyone listening, and we hope that you'll tune in next week. And we hope you believe, as we believe, that the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live. Don't forget to work on that this week. We'll see you next week right here on WBT.